For 300 years, beginning in the 5th century, the Merovingian dynasty ruled much of what we now call France and Germany. And to help them rule such a vast territory, the Merovingian kings instituted an office called the Mayor of the Palace, in Latin, Maior Palatii, or sometimes Maior Domus, which became in English Major Domo, from which we get the military and political offices of Major and Mayor. The Mayor of the Palace was second only to the king in authority, and he served as the king's principal minister and gatekeeper. In creating this office, the Merovingian kings were restoring an office found in the ancient kingdoms of Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, and Israel, an office usually called then Master of the Palace. Recall that in the book of Genesis, we read that Pharaoh gave this office to Joseph, son of Jacob, or Israel. "You shall be in charge of my palace," declared the ruler of Egypt, "and all my people shall dart at your command. Only in respect to the throne shall I outrank you." And as a sign of Joseph's new authority, Genesis tells us, Pharaoh took off his signet ring and put it on Joseph's finger. And then he had him dressed in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. It is this same authority that we see being conferred in the first lesson upon Eliakim in the kingdom of Judah. In this passage from Isaiah, the Lord deposes an unworthy master of the palace to give the same office to Eliakim. "I will clothe him with your robe and gird him with your sash and give over to him your authority. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. I will place the key of the house of David on Eliakim's shoulder. When he opens, no one shall shut. When he shuts, no one shall open. I will fix him like a peg in a sure spot." Here we see the power and dignity of the master of the palace, who effectively rules in the king's name and with the king's authority in order to extend the dominion of the king and assist him in the governance of the kingdom. This is a form of authority we find in other such offices, like prime minister, hand of the king, vicar general. All of that gives us a context for understanding the remarkable event described by St. Matthew in chapter 16 of his gospel. The Lord Jesus has taken the 12 on a journey into Gentile territory toward the city of Caesarea Philippi, about 20 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. Caesarea Philippi was the site of a popular shrine to the Greek god Pan, who was depicted as a man with the legs and the horns of a goat and acclaimed as the god of shepherds and flocks. The grotto at Pan's shrine was the site of pagan worship, much of it based on sexual debauchery and irrational frenzy, from which we get our word panic. Into this heart of pagan religion and a culture formed by both Greece and Rome, the Lord Jesus takes his 12 Jewish apostles to lay the foundation of a movement that will embrace Israel, Greece, Rome, and the whole world in a new kingdom, an eternal and universal kingdom of justice, love, and peace, the seed and beginning of which is the church. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? This question comes near the end of the 3 years Jesus spent with the apostles. Matthew places the trip to Caesarea Philippi shortly before the transfiguration of Jesus, which means that for many months The 12 have traveled with Jesus up and down the land. They have heard him preach. They have witnessed his power over nature, and they have been among the vast crowds who were drawn to Jesus by his preaching and by his signs. And now, near the end, it's time to give an account of all that. Who do people say the Son of Man is? Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. These various answers speak of the difficulty encountered by anyone who sees evidence of things his reason and experience tell him cannot possibly be true. Think of the incomprehension experienced by Pontius Pilate, by Herod, and by the Sanhedrin during the trial of the Lord Jesus. Who is this man? But the apostles do not have the luxury of merely reporting what others say about him. It is time now for them to make up their minds, because the hour for which the Son of Man came into the world draws near. That is the hour of his suffering and death. And so he asks the 12, "Who do you say that I am?" St. Matthew, who was there that day and heard the question, does not describe the scene for us in any detail. Did Simon answer immediately? Or did he first hesitate, straining to find the right words to explain what his heart already knew, the truth welling up inside of him? Did he have tears in his eyes? Or wonder and joy in his face? Did he look at the ground? Or did he look at his Savior in the face? Did he whisper his answer quietly? Or did he shout it triumphantly? We can't know the answer to those questions, but we do know that Simon replied to the Lord Jesus with words that changed human history. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The Christ, the Messiah, is of course the anointed one awaited by Israel for the restoration of the kingdom and the return of the house of David. That much of Simon's reply would be easily understood by any Jew. But the second part, that is something else entirely. "You are the Son of the living God." We have seen that Israel's mission in the world is to announce to the nations that there is but one God, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. And the monotheism of Israel would seem to exclude the very possibility of any man being in truth the Son of the living God. But without grasping the full meaning of the incarnation or of the Most Holy Trinity, Simon Bar-Jonah has come to understand by the gift of divine revelation that the Son of Mary has no human father and is in truth God the Son made man, the only begotten of God the Father, who in the fullness of time and by the power of the Holy Spirit was made flesh and dwelt among us. And so Simon declares to Jesus, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In reply, and to assist the other 11 in understanding Simon's leap of faith, Jesus declares, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father." Meaning that Simon has received a supernatural gift of divine self-disclosure, divine revelation, which no human wisdom could ever attain. A gift such as St. Paul describes in the second lesson today from his letter to the Romans. And this gift of divine revelation has in turn awakened in Simon a knowledge by grace through faith of the true identity of the Son of Man. That much alone would make this event at Caesarea Philippi a world historical moment. But Jesus is not yet done. Because of the gift of faith, Simon is about to get a new identity, a new mission, and a new name. Simon, the fisherman from Galilee, is about to become the master of the palace in the kingdom of God. I say to you, you are rock, Kepha, Kephas, Petrus, Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. If you go into St. Peter's Basilica in Vatican City and look up into Michelangelo's majestic dome, you will see letters 6 feet tall running around the drum or base of the dome. Tu es Petrus, et super hanc Petrum, edificabo ecclesiam meam, et tibi dabo clavis regnu celorum. These are the Latin words for you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. The great dome rises over the main altar of the basilica, which in turn is built above, many stories below, the long hidden grave of the Galilean fisherman who was murdered by the Emperor Nero in a circus or racetrack which he had built at the Mons Vaticanus, the Vatican Hill. The office of Master of the Palace in the Kingdom of Heaven was given first to Simon Peter. But that office did not die with one man. The kingdom lasts forever, and so does this office. It continues in the church and the successors of Peter, the Bishop of Rome, who by virtue of this Petrine ministry serve as pastor of the universal church, not in rivalry to the king, to Christ, but as his vicar. When a pope dies and the College of Cardinals assembles to elect the next successor of Peter, the world watches with fascination as an ancient and largely inscrutable process unfolds in one of the most storied places on earth. But at the end of the day, and despite all the pomp of the occasion, it finally comes to this. Who do you say that I am? Isaiah said of Eliakim, master of the palace, he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Pope means father, papa. And the successor of St. Peter is father to all those in the kingdom of heaven because it is his first task to strengthen the faith of all who confess that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Like Joseph in Egypt, and the masters of the palace in every time and place, the Bishop of Rome has a fine robe, a signet ring on his finger, and a gold chain around his neck. But on that chain hangs a cross, the cross of Christ, which witnesses to the suffering, death, and resurrection of the one whom Peter first confessed to be the Christ. The one who is also Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, bread of angels and bread of life, bridegroom of the church and brightness of the Father's glory, consolation of Israel, day star and desire of the nations, eternal and all-powerful word of the Father, the first and the last, the firstborn of the dead, friend of sinners and God of all the earth, God from God and light from light, the good shepherd and the great high priest, the Holy One of Israel and the great I Am, King of kings and Lord of lords, the Lamb of God and the light of the world, a man of sorrows and the Son of Man, the new Adam and the only begotten of the Father, our Passover and our peace, The power of God and the wisdom of God, the resurrection and the life, the Son of Mary and God the Son, the one who is, who was, and who is to come, wonderful Counselor and Prince of Peace, the Messiah of Israel and Son of David, the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord Jesus Christ.